Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Heidi Harris Show.
Hello, St. Louis!
Heidi Harris. The Heidi Harris Show is on the air.
Good evening. How you doing? Every Sunday night right here on 97.1 FM Talk. The Heidi Harris Show. Glad you're here. We got a lot to get to tonight. Jonathan Honig will be joining me next hour. He, you know him of the Fox News Channel. He's a hedge fund guy. Been a guest on my show many times. Always very sparkly. I want to get from Jonathan Honig a couple of things as a hedge fund guy and an economist. First of all, I want to talk to him about how the economy is affecting voters. You and I know how it's affecting us because we're normal people and we understand. The Democrats don't get it, but we do. But Jonathan Honig, I want to talk to him from that financial perspective. And also, I want to get some ideas from him. Hopefully the Republicans are listening. So, you know, what would he like to see Republicans do if this red wave that we're hearing about comes to fruition? I certainly hope so, but I also know that there have been times in the past that Republicans have had the advantage and blown it, not done things they could have done when they had a moment to do it. See, the Democrats always beat us at our own game when it comes to that. They get their ducks in a row, they whip these people into shape, get the votes, boom, get what they want done, and do not care what the other side thinks. And Republicans often, oh, let's be bipartisan. Let's try to get other people on board. Let's do this. Let's do that. Let's put their toe in the ground and go, oh, shucks. And then it doesn't get done. And we miss that moment when we could have gotten something major accomplished every single time. Nobody misses an opportunity like Republicans miss an opportunity. Or what did they say? Miss an opportunity to miss an opportunity. That's right. Anyway, so we'll talk about that with the Jonathan Honig and as far as the economy. Also, we're going to chat about civil disobedience. A guy named Peter Demos just wrote a great book called On the Duty of Christian Civil Disobedience. Now, you know, there are a lot of people, and I've read many of these columns and talked to some of these people who think that Christians have no duty at all to vote. Why should they bother? Or they should just go along with whatever's happening and give it all to God, or they shouldn't be disobedient. I mean, on the one hand, you have Jesus telling people to render unto Caesar what's Caesar's, right? When it comes to taxes. On the other hand, should you shut your church down because some governor tells you to? Right. So we're going to talk about that coming up after the break. I think it's important, especially in an election year, because there are some requirements that I believe we have as believers. So what's interesting to me about the election is that the Democrats still don't understand. Well, okay, let me back that up. They do understand why they're losing. And the reason they understand is that they're not mentioning anything. When's the last time you saw an ad anywhere, no matter where you live, Illinois, you know, in Missouri, any state, pick one, where you saw Democrats talking about climate change, CRT, defund the cops, anything like that? They stopped talking about it because obviously it's not working. It's a losing battle. They know that now. Big problem. So the issue becomes, how badly are they going to lose? Now, I'm glad to know that most Americans seem to think that there's a problem here. There was a recent poll done, all kinds of polls, a Gallup poll. Just 17% of Americans say they're satisfied with the direction the country's going. 17%, that's a big deal. And of course, hopefully, they're going to hold the party in power responsible for that. I'm hoping. We don't know for sure. But, you know, I don't know if they're just tone deaf. They don't understand. We've talked many times about how they don't understand how we live, normal people. And I guess that's probably true. That's part of it. But they have these ideas that are not going to do anything for the economy. They're not going to put more money in your pocket. They're not going to do one thing for the environment. They just keep pushing these agendas that don't do anything. You know, the solar panels that you think are going to save your life, or the green power that comes from everything, from things that are mined by children and slave labor in other countries. You know, no one ever talks about that. What they want to do is not going to benefit America. It's not going to benefit the world. And I don't know why they continue to push it. I know some people do because they make money off of it. I get that. And then you've got a lot of people who are complicit. They don't know any better. So they just go, yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, we need to save the environment. Okay. But clearly it's not working, because they are, many people are predicting a major red wave that may not happen everywhere, but a lot of places it's going to. And it should. Even Yahoo had a story. Culture war issues like abortion and trans rights are shaping midterm elections. Right. I saw a story the other day about Adam Laxalt, who you may or may not have heard of. He's running for Senate in Nevada, and Nevada is a state that everybody's watching very closely, because that could flip the Senate. Okay. I think he's got a real shot. And they were criticizing him for, you know, his father was a friend of Reagan, and oh my gosh, and he's a totally new kind of Republican. You know, he's a far right. He's this and that, very different than his father. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Or his grandfather, who had been a politician before him. Well, hold on a second. Some of the things that Adam Laxalt and a lot of Republicans now across the country, Ron DeSantis, people like that, some of the things that they're fighting against, Ronald Reagan could never have dreamed of. Wait a minute. You want to give my 8-year-old hormones? Wait a minute. Hold on. Wait, you want to turn my child into a eunuch at the age of 8, 10, 12? This is what you want to do. And you want to do it behind my back. You want to give my child drugs that will mess up my child's life. Tell my child from the time they're 4, 5, 6 years old that they're really the opposite sex, and then put those things into them. I mean, Ronald Reagan could never have dreamed of this. So for them to say the Republicans have gotten so crazy and so far right, and, you know, and so much more hardline, what are they kidding? Who's out there? Who's pushing this stuff on our kids? Who's trying to defund the cops? Who's trying to tell anybody that any race is better than any other race? Nobody should be told that. Children in school shouldn't feel guilty about something that happened before they were born. They should understand it, whether it's slavery of Black people, slavery continuing all over America, all over the world, really, when it comes to sex slavery and things like that. White people have been enslaved. All kinds of people all over the world have been enslaved. Yes, they should know about it. But trying to make them feel guilty about something that they didn't do, you need to teach them about it so that, you know, they'll actually not repeat it and be aware of these kinds of things. But this idea of making people feel guilty because they're the color they were born is ridiculous. People like Ronald Reagan could never have envisioned this kind of thinking. So to compare any conservative today, well, that wasn't the, you know, Ronald Reagan conservative. Yeah, well, yeah, I know, because you Democrats are not the Democrats of Ronald Reagan's time. I mean, it's insane what's going on. And y'all know that. And that's why these issues like abortion and trans rights, you know, first of all, abortion isn't really shaping the election. They wish it was, but it's not. They started with abortion. The Democrats months ago started the abortion ads after abortion ads after abortion ads. And then I was talking to a friend of mine the other day who's a pollster. And this is what he does for a living. Monitors all these things, the messaging and this kind of thing. And he said, yeah, they started with abortion and now they have nothing. Now they've got nothing to say. People went, okay, abortion. What else you got? Nothing. They can't talk about inflation. They can't talk about the prices of everything. They can't talk about any of that. They've got nothing to say. They don't respect the family. They don't respect parental rights. They didn't care how long your kids were out of school. They didn't care about any of that. So trans rights and all these things, they are shaping the elections, because people, I guess a lot of people really woke up in the last couple of years. Maybe parents who weren't aware of what was being taught in school, if they happened to be home when their kid was home for 2 years, that they were, you know, homeschooling, whatever, if it actually worked for them, are suddenly realizing what's being taught in school. Maybe they hadn't paid attention. I mean, it's gotten to the point now where if your kid goes to school, you have to debrief them on the way home every day. Pick them up and say, okay, what did they teach you? Let me correct it. Did they teach you any math or anything, or, you know, how to spell environment, or they just make you feel guilty about it? Just tell me what you learned today and I will tell you what was right or wrong about it. That's what you have to do. It's crazy. But now parents are waking up more and more to this. They're, you know, books that they want to have in the schools, you know, that feature, you know, homosexuality and whatever. If you want to teach your child and have a whole library full of those books in your house, that's your right as a parent. But to have the school putting any kind of sexual books in the libraries is for little kids. It's crazy that they shouldn't be going any direction. I read a book when I was a teenager. It was called The Baby Trap. And it was written by a feminist. I don't even remember what year the book was written, but I remember I read it as a teenager. Written by a feminist. And it was all about how terrible it was to have a child. And who knows how much that affected me as a young person. Of course, I didn't want a child as a young person anyway. Smart enough not to do anything like that. But, you know, those kinds of books can, you know, I'm not saying people shouldn't read those kind of things, but parents need to know what's going on because they need to be able to counter what's being taught to their kids or what their kids are being influenced by. And the left knows that it's bad for the families. They know it's bad for any kind of conservative principles. And that's why they don't want you to know what they're doing, what your children are reading. You know, my attitude about it in general, a great principle to live by is if what you're doing or saying is okay, then you wouldn't mind who heard it or saw it, right? I mean, within reason, obviously, right? You wouldn't care. You know, I'm doing something, okay, what you're saying at a dinner is fine no matter who's sitting there, right? Or what you're doing, you know, you don't have to be hiding behind some building, you know, to try to, you know, push your agenda on a child or tell them weird things or whatever, right? It should be normal. The way it should be. But unfortunately, they know it, that parents don't want this. And that's why they want to go around the parents. I mean, that is the left's, unfortunately, their constant goal is to try to take away and put a divide between parents and children. Constantly. If you wanted what was best for kids, and listen, I know all parents aren't great. Okay, fine, then call CPS. But that doesn't mean you get to go in there and try to put things into their minds that their parents may or may not approve of. Why don't you teach them math? Why don't you teach them how to read? Why don't you teach them how to, I don't know, handle a bank account? Some of those things that kids don't even learn anymore in school. Teach them about finance. Teach them about, I don't know, revolving credit. Teach them about interest payments. Teach them how much debt will destroy their lives. Teach them those kinds of basic things in life. You're going to do that. But stay away from some of the other things. But they won't. That's their last chance to get their hands on your kids. Well, colleges, actually. So they're going to hopefully lose, and parents are starting to wake up, and people in general are waking up to what's going on. Maybe they hadn't realized how bad it had gotten. So I'm hoping for the red wave, and then if we do have the red wave, we'll see. All right, real quickly before we run to my guest, Peter Demos, about civil disobedience with Christians, I think it's going to be a great topic, great discussion. Did you see that the prosecutors are refusing to release police body cam and surveillance footage from Pelosi's house? Now... Everybody seems to know that Paul Pelosi, and I don't know what happened, but we all are very, let's put it this way. We're all very suspicious about the story we're being told and what really went on. And all I can say is this. How many videos have you seen of every neighbor having a shot of some porch pirate stealing something off the neighbor's porch, whether your camera hits their porch or your porch or whatever, right? We see porch pirate video all day long. We see crazy things happening. We see people trying to bust folks' doors down. We see crazy people on camera, right? All day long, every day, all over social media, somebody's got a video of something, but they won't release the Paul Pelosi stuff. Do I have to say anything else? No, I don't. There's no reason to. You all know I don't know what happened, but I know what they're saying happened probably wasn't it. Would that be fair to say? Yeah. Mm-hmm. People aren't buying that either. Also tonight, we're going to talk about an interesting column this week that came out. This woman wrote a column about how she wants pandemic amnesty. In other words, she wants us all to forget all the nasty things they did to us. They, meaning the people who wanted to shut down, stay home, stop living while they sat in their houses and got a paycheck and typed their little blogs. Oh yeah, we'll get to that. I promise. And don't forget Jonathan Honig coming up next hour from the Fox News Channel. He's a hedge fund guy. We're going to talk about the economy and what Republicans need to do going forward to make a difference. Coming up next, we'll talk about the duty of Christian civil disobedience. How far should we go? That and more right here on The Heidi Harris Show. This is 97.1 FM Talk.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Good evening. How you doing? Glad you're here. Sunday night, 7 to 9, every Sunday night right here on 97.1 FM Talk. Now, something that has been a bone of contention among the brethren, so to speak, and also, you know, among the non-brethren, is the idea of Christians standing up for their rights. You know, where does Christian civil disobedience begin? I mean, you know, now Jesus said, render under, and we're not here to give you a sermon here. I'm not a theologian. I'm not qualified. But Jesus told people to give, you know, to render under Caesar what was Caesar's. In other words, pay your taxes, things like that. But on the other hand, what happens when government comes in and tells you you can't meet at church, right? Do they have the right to do that? Because there were plenty of examples in the Bible of people who said, well, you know, we just don't preach anymore. Don't talk about Jesus anymore. No, no. And they would never agree to that. There was a lot of civil disobedience back then. Peter Demos is here. He's got a new book called On the Duty of Christian Civil Disobedience. He's a restaurateur. He's a writer. He's a speaker. And I read this book and I was fascinated by it. Glad to have you, sir, especially right before an election.
I'm glad to be on. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah. So now talk to me about, you know, where you know, when you talk about everything from, you know, give government what the money that you're supposed to give them, obviously, right? But then when government comes in and tells you you can't, you know, worship together or not in person or whatever else, I mean, you know, where should we fall down as Christians?
You know, I started when I wrote this book, it was just kind of, it was just more kind of academic. I didn't plan on writing it. And then as I kind of discovered it, I realized there was a kind of look at it as like a three-part test. And part one is the government asking you to commit evil? You know, like, are they asking you, like the Nazi Germany, are they asking you to go kill people? You know, are they forcing you to have an abortion like in China? Or is it the second area, the second part of the test is are they asking you to do something that's contrary to God's word? And the example you just gave about going to church, you know, but I think another example would be if you're not allowed to, you know, talk about Jesus. I think that would be another example of that, because that's part of our duties as Christians. And then the final one is God asking you to get involved in something? And I think those are the three areas that we have to look at to determine when we should disobey, you know, our leaders in those situations.
Yeah, you mentioned something really important here. You talk about how when Christians get lost in the cause instead of the purpose, we're ultimately the ones who are glorified. And boy, isn't that true. A lot of people claim to be, you know, working for God in some way, and then they have some cause, whatever it might be, and all of a sudden they're glorifying themselves.
Yeah, I think it's so easy to get caught up in our own self-righteousness as opposed to the righteousness of God. I mean, it's it's very easy to do. And, you know, and I don't know. I wish I could sit there and say I'm above all that. I myself have fallen victim to it. And, you know, where you start liking the praise people give you, and it's just kind of helping you trying to find ways of staying humble during that time. But you can't have anything above God. I mean, again, you can't make your cause an idol either.
Right. Absolutely. You can. And you always want to be sure that you're doing what you think God wants you to do. But it's just very difficult because there are so many things that have conflicted with our faith. For example, over the last couple of years, we've certainly seen it come to a head. People who can't, and I'm not asking you to get into the conversation about the shots. I don't even consider the shots a spiritual issue. Personally, I don't think if you're a bad Christian, if you get one or you're not, I don't think of it that way. But there are people who asked for religious exemptions because it conflicted with their faith. They believed, and they weren't given those kinds of things, and that puts people in a very tough spot too.
You know, it was the shot was definitely a different situation, and for me it was more of the fear of if we were going to be made told as employers that you had to make your employees do it. And I was like, okay, as a Christian business owner, I couldn't do it. And I drafted a letter in response and actually presented it in front of a group of Christian men and said, okay, I want y'all to tear this up theologically. Like, 'cause I want to make certain that what I'm doing is correct. And it's not from a personal or political or anything else that's there. But, you know, and I looked at, you know, in Isaiah, I think it's 30 or 31, where basically, God's like, you can't go to Egypt. I told you not to rely on governments. You got to rely on me. And that's kind of was the foundation of that. But that was the biggest struggle for me. Now, again, if some people felt it was better to get a shot or some people felt it wasn't, you know, again, that was up to them. In my family, right. In my personal family, we had two of us that didn't get it and two of us that did, you know, mm-hmm. There was actually a small contentions in our own household about it. You know, it wasn't anything that was really huge or big, but that's kind of where it boiled down to. Whereas, you know, but again, me having to force other people to do it, I couldn't do that.
Yeah, you're funny. If it was a small contention in your family, you're ahead of most of us, sir. We're speaking with Peter Demos. The new book is called On the Duty of Christian Civil Disobedience. And people should know you're in the restaurant business. You're the CEO of Demos Brands Restaurants. And so that's why you're talking about the employees and all those kinds of things. And it does put you in a very awkward situation. So talk to me about when you were asked to shut down. And situations like that. I mean, as a person of faith, you know, what do you do? Is it right to say, hey, I'm going to open up anyway? You know, government certainly has a role to play. But, you know, when they go too far, what do we do as Christians? What's the best approach?
You know, when they told me to shut down my business, that was one thing. And fortunately, we had a governor because in Tennessee, fortunately, our governor was pretty conservative and a very strong Christian as well. So we didn't have to shut down for long periods of time. Now, we did have to go to carry out only, and I did have to lay off a lot of employees during that time. But to me, the bigger issue was, especially out west, when they were shutting down churches. And, I mean, I love what Jack Hibbs did. You know, Jack Hibbs wrote a letter to Governor Newsom and said, you know what, hey, I'm just going to give you a heads up. We're going to go ahead and open. I'm not going to follow your rule anymore. We're going to go ahead and open because I think it's wrong. And then he sent messages to his parishioners and said, you know what, it's possible you'll get arrested if you come, but we're going to open and I'm inviting you to come anyway. But just be aware that you might get arrested if you show up. I think that is an absolutely beautiful way of doing it, which is, you know, he was respectful in all forms of it. You know, he notified people of the possible risk involved in it. Yet at the same time, he said, this is something that's critical to our faith, and I can't stand by idly and just let the government come and keep us from worshiping God.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. You also mentioned in your book, by the way, the book's called On the Duty of Christian Civil Disobedience. Peter Demos is a writer. You say we're not promised an easy life according to the Bible. We're not promised health and wealth. We're not promised popularity or promotions. Boy, and I don't know how people get through life if they do think that's a guarantee, sir. I mean, I'm going to get to Twitter later in the show tonight, but I, you know, when I guess they never work for radio, these people in Twitter where you get fired every Tuesday. But you're right about the fact that we are not promised these things. And a lot of people, I guess maybe they feel as if they're not necessarily in line with God if things go badly, right? And that's not correct either.
No, you know, my first book was written about, because I grew up in Christian church. I grew up going to Christian schools, but I hated Christians. And so I didn't really become saved until about 10 years ago. And my first book was about that journey, but also like working through a failed business and learning how to deal with the fear and of failure, you know, using the practical tools of the Bible. And what was funny was when we started that business was right when I got saved. And I remember thinking, oh, well, this is going to be easy now because, you know, God's on my side. You know, now I'm a Christian. It's going to be simple. And it was the hardest, most difficult thing I ever did. Mm-hmm. And then afterward, it was the same thing. And I reached out to a mentor of mine in South Africa, and I said, you know, I'm under all this attack nonstop. Like, what do you do? And he said, oh, you got to praise God. He said, because if you're not a threat, if you're not a threat, Satan will leave you alone. So my question is to all the people listening right now, if you're not under attack, why not? What are you not doing that Satan is saying, okay, it's okay, you're not a threat anymore? And I think that has stuck with me ever since, and it's just such a powerful way of looking at life and our duties as a Christian. To me, it's just an incredible way of looking at it. So the potential that you might get fired on Tuesday, I think it's pretty good right now. I'd say you're all right.
No, it's funny that you say that, because I'm thinking of Twitter and Facebook, where I have been throttled and had, you know, things shadow banned that I posted. So clearly I'm a threat to them. Maybe it's a satanic attack. I don't know. But no, that's a great point. And we're speaking with Peter Demos. The new book is called On the Duty of Christian Civil Disobedience. He's a restaurateur, a lawyer, writer, speaker. You know, what's interesting too, Peter, is that these are not new attacks on Christians, and especially over the last couple of years. One of the biggest attacks on the churches was government wanted us to put our trust in them. And once again, not trying to drag you into political discussion about Fauci or whatever else, but they wanted us to believe in Fauci or Ms. Walensky or this one or that one. Don't believe what your pastor says. We want you to follow what we say. We have your best interests at heart. But that's nothing new. Open the Bible, pick a page, sir. It's everywhere.
You know, 2 Corinthians 15, I think verses 3-6, it talks about how it's saying, you know, because Israel did not know a true God and they didn't have a teaching preacher or teaching priest, they, you know, and then it talks about all the problems that happen in Israel. And then like the verse 6, it says, you know, the nation fought against nation and you know, and which is really more translated, ethnic state fought against other ethnic states. And when you get to it, it says, because God caused it. And I realize if God is creating this because we don't know the true God and he's creating it, it doesn't matter who we elect. We can, you know, if God is wanting these problems, then Trump's not going to fix it. Biden's not going to fix it. No one's going to fix it. Now, but at the same time, if we can change the culture and we can become, as a culture, become, you know, and become Christ first, and we can start electing the politicians that are going to start doing the things that are Christ-centered and Christ-first, I think that's where the solution starts. Now, granted, if I have to choose between two politicians and one's going to align more with my Christian values than the other, that's the one I'm going to pick. But I don't think that's going to necessarily solve all of our issues until we get our culture fixed first.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. And, you know, there are people, and I know them, you know them, who do put their trust in politicians. And I remember going out and speaking at some event right before Trump was elected first and only time at this point, technically. And
we'll talk about the second time he was, but we, you know.
Exactly. We won't get to that tonight. But this woman stood up and she said, well, Trump's going to save us. And I said, no, he's not. I said, if he had the power to save us, he would have the power to destroy us. I voted for him twice. I supported him. I'm making the point that this woman, this conservative Republican woman, was putting all of her trust in a person. The Bible's very clear. You cannot put your trust in princes of any kind. Now, some are better than others. We all know that. But to put your trust in these politicians, that's something else that I've hated to see some of my brethren do.
Absolutely. Before I got saved, I was very heavily involved in politics and working with different politicians, both at the local, state, and national level. And I had that same, it's an easy trap to fall into, you know, and again, there are more, you know, obviously politicians do an amazing thing, many of them do. I think many of them truly go in to serve, and I think many of them do an outstanding job. I think there's some amazing leaders, even if they're not a Christian. Unfortunately, I don't think that we should throw all of our eggs in that basket, because all power I don't remember who the quote is, but, you know, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. I don't remember who said it, but it's a very true statement of you know, you can kind of get in there and then you kind of get sucked into the system of some way.
Right.
And when you see politicians that buck that system, they either get on board or they get out. And I think we've seen that both recently in the last, you know, decade or so.
Boy, that's true. We're speaking with Peter Demos. The book is on the duty of Christian civil disobedience. That's why I never endorse candidates. As a talk show host, I get a lot of people asking me to endorse them. I get a lot of people emailing me, which judges are best, this, or that, or the other. I don't do it. And it's not because, you know, there are people I clearly like better than others, but they're all flawed. They're all going to let you down. So I vote for the best people I know and the most information that I have. And that's the best you can do, but you certainly can't expect them to be perfect. And unfortunately they're not. And that's why, you know, we're supposed to look to God, not politicians.
You know, and I think the same is true even among preachers. I think a lot of times, you know, we don't know the Bible anymore. We don't spend time in the Word of God, and we spend time listening to the preacher, or even worse, following a meme, I call it a meme theology, where it's those one-liners that make you feel good about yourself, and it sounds biblical. We don't know if it is or not, and unless you're spending time in it. But, you know, realize that preacher, that politician, they're sheep just like you are. And we're supposed to follow the shepherd. So if I'm following another sheep and that sheep is led astray, I have no idea.
Ooh, you know? Great point. Great point. We're supposed to follow the shepherd, not the sheep. So true. Speaking of what you just mentioned, I saw this today. You may have seen it. A new study reveals that less than 1/3 of Americans believe the Bible should serve as the foundation for determining right and wrong. Wow.
but how else? See, that's the funny thing about it is the Bible's true. Now, just the same way as I know gravity's true. So if I stop believing in gravity, doesn't mean I float away. So it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not believe it. It's still the foundation of truth. I had somebody on Facebook post the same thing about, you know, we should take all Christianity out of the laws. And I'm like, you mean like thou shalt not murder? I mean, that's
right.
Just such a terrible law that we want to live under, you know. And I mean, and I think when we continue to dismiss the foundation of the biblical foundation, not only within our country, but in the laws itself. And when you read, you know, the books of Leviticus and Deuteronomy and Numbers, and you're like, oh my goodness, like, what's the point? When you're reading it and coming at it from a lawyer's perspective, you all of a sudden see the laws that are in our country that derived from so much of the moral laws and the moral foundations that were outlined to one of the first civilizations that God gave laws to. I mean,
right.
It's just absolutely incredible when you see it all tie in together. And then when you know the history of our country and the faith base of our history of our country, whether it's from George Washington, John Adams, John Quincy Adams, wherever that foundation is, Thomas Jefferson, that has this huge amount of faith driven in it, and it was just kind of accepted at that time, it's just like, oh, wow, well, it just makes all perfect sense. It ties in with each other, you know.
Right.
But yeah, we can't. If we don't have that as our truth, then it's just all opinions, and then it's whoever rules with power is going to set forth the rules. And again, I think we've started seeing that in the last couple of years.
Absolutely. That's true. When there are people, there's a guy, I don't know if you know who he is, Frank Turek. He travels around the country speaking
oh, yes.
to colleges. Yeah, I love him. He wrote, I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. And, you know, when people will say there is no truth, he said, is that true?
You know, my son attends a Christian college. It's a conservative Christian college, and he's a business major there. And but one of his first classes was they made a comment that we live in a post-truth world, that there's no such truth, and he asked that question. And fortunately, because we have about 3 years before they went to well 2 years before he went to college, 3 before my daughter went away, I realized. You know, I taught them the dangers of sex and drugs and alcohol, and you know, and I hope they follow it. But I never taught them how to defend their faith.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started really focusing on that. And so far with both kids that are in college now, it has been incredible watching what they've had to learn and apply, not only with their teachers, but also with the other students around as well. And
right.
So I'm so thankful. So, yes, we listened to a lot of Frank Turek during that time as well, because he frames it in such a way that you just – it's just so simple the way he says it. Anybody, I highly recommend reading his books or listening to his podcast.
Yeah, he's been on my show many times. He's just a brilliant guy. He does a great, he's got a gift, that's for sure. The book is on the duty of Christian civil disobedience. Peter Dumas is the author. Great book. And give me the name of your first book, because I did see it in something I was reading about you, but I didn't write it down. Give me the name of your first book, because I do want to read that.
Yeah, the first book is called Afraid to Trust.
Okay, because you talk about your journey to faith and how, you know, you were, it's so funny. So you were surrounded by Christians, but hated Christians. That's an interesting story. So I definitely want to read that too.
Yeah, it's, you know, I grew up in where, you know, you were bullied in school and the people who are bullying you were Christians. So you naturally assumed that all Christians were bad. And, you know, so that's where it's kind of started. And then it just kind of progressed from there. And, you know, frankly, I went to bad churches, and my parents did a great job raising me. They did it. They did everything they could correctly, I think. It just didn't take. And I'm a skeptic. I challenge people. I have to know why. And I think that created some of the problems that happened from there. But for me, it was that the story of once I got saved and I said, okay, I'm turning everything over to you. That meant my business. That meant my family. That meant my life. That meant everything over to God. And just that learning how to do that in a practical way, it was, that was the next part of the journey that I was on.
Interesting. You know, it's so funny too, whenever, and I'm going to let you go after this, but whenever people say to me, I've had to leave a church because the pastor got abusive, you know, a little like doctrinally abusive. I won't bore you with that. A lot of us have been in that situation. And when people say, well, I don't go to church anymore because, you know, I got burned by a church. You know what I say to them? Are you still dating? Just asking. Just wondering, because we've all been burned in romance. Are you still dating? Just tell me you're never going to date again because you had a bad experience with a girlfriend or boyfriend. Okay. Once you tell me that, then I'll believe your story about the church. Right, sir?
You know, I look at it another way, which is if a doctor looks at you and says, you need to eat better because of your heart. But then you see that doctor sitting outside a Waffle House after eating fried bacon and scattered smother covered in chunks. It doesn't take away the message that he gave you. It doesn't make that message less true. It just means he's not following it.
That's exactly true. And that's the journey we're all on every single day of our lives. Peter Dumas, great talking to you. And your website. Give me your website real quick. I don't have it in front of me. I did look it up earlier, though. PeterDumas.com?
It's PeterDumas.org.
PeterDemos.org. Okay. PeterDemos.org. Great talking to you, sir. Great book. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. I'm Heidi Harris, coming right back.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You're here every Sunday night, 7 to 9, right here on 97.1 FM Talk. Coming up next hour, Jonathan Honig will be here. You see him if you watch the Fox News Channel. He's a hedge fund guy, expert on the economy, money, things like that. And we're going to talk about the interest rate that went up again this week. We're going to talk about the idea that, you know, the Republicans obviously have a real chance, and partially because of the economy. Well, largely because of the economy, but there are other things too. Obviously, the social issues are a big deal. But the economy is a huge factor when it comes to a lot of voters' lives. So we'll talk about that. But more importantly, if the red wave comes, what should Republicans do? We're going to talk about that with Jonathan Honan coming up next hour. By the way, you can follow me, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Heidi Harris Show, Heidi Harris Show, Heidi Harris Show. And I'm doing this live right now on Facebook, Heidi Harris Show. So if you want to watch me do it, you can. All right, just a couple of things about Twitter. It was a big story this week, as you know. You may or may not be on Twitter. I know a lot of people are not. I get it. I'm on it because there's a lot of news on it. There's a lot of interesting stuff. I find value in being on Twitter. I'm not a blue check. There are people who do the blue check, where, and some people call them that. And it's meant pejoratively, but they're blue checks. The reason I never did that, verified that I'm who I am, because I'm not giving that information. You know, they wanted all kinds of information. I'm not doing that. Forget it. Not worth it to me. And now he's going to charge these people $8 a month if they've got a blue check. So for whatever. Anyway, the thing about Twitter, I don't know what Elon Musk is going to do with it. I don't know if he's going to do it correctly, run it, you know, to the point where it makes money. I don't know. I have no idea what he's going to do. But to watch these people this last couple of days whining and complaining about the layoffs, well, nobody likes losing a job. And I have been in business, well, the radio business for 25 years, and I have luckily never been laid off due to budget cuts. But I have seen amazing people lose their jobs due to budget cuts. I mean, this is radio all the time that it happens. This company takes over that company takes over that, and this and that. And there are always job cuts. You just know that there's a possibility that you could lose your job. But it's not like you have the sword of Damocles hanging over your head every day. You don't. But you know that's a possibility. These people act like it was never even a possibility that they could lose their jobs. I guess this is their first job, is all I can figure out. I mean, the gnashing of teeth has been ridiculous. Oh, well, okay, I'm sorry if you've got a house payment to make, but I know a ton of people, amazing, talented people, dedicated people who've lost their jobs in various layoffs and cutbacks. So just stop it. It's real life. And remember, all the people in the public education, college folks, they all want you to learn how to code. So if you learn how to code and that's a guaranteed future, well, then you ought to be able to get another job. One of my listeners said on my Facebook page, they ought to learn how to weld. That's probably true. Probably help. There's always a need for those people. Now, Facebook apparently is going to have mass layoffs because Facebook's revenue is down 75%. Listen, if it weren't for the fact that some of my audience is on Facebook, and that Facebook's so frustrating. I don't want to be another Facebook whiner, but I will be for a second. It's so frustrating to me because I post things up there and I know they don't let people see it. Heidi Harris Show on Facebook, you can check it out. I'm broadcasting live there now. It's handy for that. But the truth is, a lot of people who follow me, and there are thousands and thousands of them, don't see what I post. And my problem is not that I am entitled to be on anybody's platform. That's absolutely not true. But I do think if they have you get on the platform and then they want you to put all this content up and that yet no one's seeing it because they, you know, do a shadow banning of it, that's not fair because you're just lying. You know, that's like, think of it this way. If you had a product at a grocery store and everybody in a grocery store who puts products in there has to, they pay extra or whatever for the end cap, right? They want to be on the end, you know, so you can't resist those Pop-Tarts or whatever's on the end cap. Now, what if a store, and I'm sure they pay more for that. What if a store took your money as a product developer, you know, Nabisco, I'll pick something, okay? And they took the money for putting you on the end, but then they didn't put you on the end. They stuck you on the, you know, high shelf or the very low shelf where nobody sees your stuff. It's kind of the same thing. Even though you're not paying to be on Facebook, you're putting the effort in and they lie to you. That's my frustration. So what's going to happen with Twitter? I don't know. Kathy Griffin got banned from Twitter today. I don't care. I don't miss her. It was funny. Elon Musk changed his profile, you know, where you can put a little blurb about yourself. It says, Elon Musk, Twitter complaint hotline operator. So will he be successful with Twitter? I don't know. I truly don't know. I'm going to stay on it at least for now. I know a lot of the lefties are freaking out. They want Trump to never come back. Why? You don't have to ever. There are so many people on Twitter. I don't ever see their stuff because I don't follow them. And it's very simple. If their stuff pops up in your feed, you just mute it. You never have to ever see something you don't agree with if it's a certain person you don't want to see. Ever. Ever. So I don't know why these people are all freaked out. I hope Trump gets back on. I really do. I'd love to see that happen. You know, he's obviously a popular guy, and it would certainly be good for it. It would be, to me, a good business decision. And these advertisers who say, we won't advertise if you put Trump on there. Why not? Do you want eyeballs on your stuff or not? A lot of the people who follow Trump hate his guts, but they follow him, which means they see your advertising. I'm Heidi Harris, coming right back. Oh, in about a minute. Okay, I'm sorry. I was going to go out early. Sorry about that. Sorry about that, Ethan. Did I freak you out? Did I scare you?
Only for a quick moment.
I was watching the clock and I went, oh my gosh, no.
Fives and sixes, they do look kind of alike.
They do look kind of alike. They do. Anyway, so coming up next hour, Jonathan Honig will be here. We'll talk about the economy. Lots to discuss about that. And more importantly, what Republicans can do. Also, an interesting column that made the rounds. And boy, was she getting trashed on Twitter and everything else. She wrote it in The Atlantic. She wants pandemic amnesty. She wants us all to forget all the nasty things they did to us when they really didn't know what they were doing. Uh-huh. Yeah. We'll get to that and much more coming up on the next hour of the Heidi Harris Show. Don't forget, you can follow me Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Yes, I'm still on Twitter. Heidi Harris Show, Heidi Harris Show, Heidi Harris Show. Coming back here in just a minute with Jonathan Honig from the Fox News Channel. Coming right back. Vote, vote, vote. Get out and vote.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.